You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This is Tanya Pingins. Welcome back to You Can't Say That. I'm speaking with Marcia Pendleton, expert in theater marketing and group sales.
Now, I see on your resume that you're about to work on the MJ musical.
Yes.
Okay, now, you know, there was a minute there where it was going away. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at dinner with Lynn Nottage, and she was like, yes, I'm ready for my country home. And then the documentary happened, and it went away. Are they worried about anything? Are they worried about this documentary, this stuff? Clearly, they're not. They're coming to Broadway this season, correct?
They're coming to Broadway this season. It starts July 6th.
Oh, they're opening in the summer. They're doing a Holler If You Hear Me open.
Yeah.
Whoa. July 6th. Long open. So they're coming for next season.
And tickets are being sold through 2021.
What's that? They're selling tickets into next year already.
Already.
Wow.
Already.
So the scandal, they don't care. It's not affecting them.
I have been out in the community recently. I did a Black Book Fair for the Brooklyn Alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. I did that on Saturday, and I had the materials there, and they were like, wow, I really want to see this. They want to know about the story. They want to know what music. And I said, I don't know what music it is, but it's 25 of his biggest hits.
25, okay.
25 of
his biggest hits. He's got way more than 25.
Yeah, so it's 25 that we all know, and we are going to be singing.
Yes, we will be singing along. So don't come if that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because we're going to be jamming and dancing and in the aisles.
And having a really, really good time. It is, yes, there are some people. I was working on a project that I produce, and we were sitting in the production meeting, and the person had some difficulties with the project. And I just said, well, maybe you should come see it. Mm. Maybe you should just come see it. Mm-hmm. And make your decision that way. Mm-hmm. There were people who would slide up to me, especially in church, and ask me about Slave Play.
Right.
What about Slave Play? What did you think about it?
Yes.
And I would say to them, you need to go see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go see it for yourself, and then we can have a conversation mm-hmm. about it. And then we can have the conversation. I would, and there were people who were ready to protest, get out in the street and protest. Mm. And we shut that down.
How did you do that?
We shut that down. I just said to some of the folks who were getting ready to do that, I said, we cannot do that. We cannot do that. Jeremy has every right to do what he needs to do as an artist. We don't, as Black folks, we don't need to shut him down.
Mm.
He needs the opportunity to grow and develop as an artist. He's, what, 30?
I don't think he's that old. I think he's more like 27 or something like that.
I think he just turned 30.
Okay.
I think he just turned 30. So let's not be squashing
anybody's impulses.
We can't. I went to a reading of Lynn Nottage's Crumbs from the Table of Joy. I never saw a production of it, but I went to this reading and I said, it's wonderful, but it's nowhere near what she does right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near the Pulitzer Prize winning, Genius Grant Award winning Lynn Nottage that we know and love. We need to allow people to grow and develop and not walk in the theater expecting a new playwright to have a fully developed, fully realized voice because you're not a fully realized.
Well, now see, I'm a person who loved Slave Play. Four mm-hmm. times it spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I loved it. So for me, not shutting him down is just more about, I hope we're moving into a world where there is a place for every voice.
Everybody.
Every voice. And I don't have to agree with your voice to respect your right to say it. I mean, I think that we are in the political situation we're in now because of all this telling people they couldn't say this and you couldn't say that. I respect your right to hate me and call me a nigga, but you don't get the you don't get to be my boss and decide how I make my living.
Absolutely. And there are some people who have said the same thing about Tyler Perry. The man has a studio, state-of-the-art
yes.
studio, with it, which is providing work for hundreds of people.
Yes.
Hundreds
and,
of people.
And funded by the Black audience. I think Fall from Grace, which I loved. He said 26 million downloads in the first week.
And I was
the
one
black
of them.
Audience made him a billionaire. Yeah, I was
and
one of them.
I was one of them. I was one of them. And so he has this huge contract with Netflix. He can reach even more people now. I remember when I went to see a conversation with Billy Porter and Ryan Murphy at the 92nd Street Y. And Billy talked about the fact that Pose, now on Netflix, had the opportunity to reach 175 million people. Mm. 175 million people. I nearly fell off my chair because that story is being told. Mm-hmm. That is educating a lot of people.
And healing a lot of people.
And healing a lot of people, absolutely. You're absolutely right, to know that they are not alone, that there is hope, that there is life, that there is love. Mm-hmm. And all of that comes out of Pose. And to see him just blow up like that, has been absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see what his red carpet look is going to be. I'm
like, he is living his best life,
yes,
Billy Porter.
Absolutely, Mr. Billy Porter. And if people don't know it, he's also a wonderful writer as
director.
Well. And director as well.
Yes, yes. Yes. Adore him. Adore him. Now, so let's say someone's starting out. We don't even at the off-Broadway state. We're like, Marcia, we want to make something. What do you advise people who are trying to, the new artists, Harlem Nines, The Fire This Time,
What should they do?
To get the audience there. You know, because for Black people, we don't have institutions behind us. We don't have the institutional money. We don't have the institutional resources and funding. How do we start to, I think for me, I feel sometimes when I see the things that are produced in the institutions that is of our work, it's not of our finest work. It is of our work that makes them feel comfortable, that's going to make their subscriber audience feel comfortable. So how do all these other amazing playwrights who don't fit into the comfortability mode of the institutions also begin to build an audience for themselves?
I would say be every place that you can be. If there is an opportunity for you to table at an event.
What's table?
Having a table or having a booth
okay.
at the event. Having several artists come together and figure out how much they can pay to pay the fee. Some fees are as little as $35. Others are $1,500.
So networking.
Be in the places that you need to be. Wherever we are, you should be there.
So give us some places they need to be.
They need to be with the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce to do Harlem Week. Harlem Week, we know, is 6 weeks. Not a week.
Okay.
It is 6 weeks, and they have 109 events during that period of time. Their biggest events are their street festivals, Harlem Day, and a great day in Harlem that attract hundreds of thousands of people, or when they are on, what is it called? A Great Day in Harlem, which is that Sunday, the last Sunday in July, which is at Grant's Tomb. It's music, it's fashion shows, it's all kinds of performances, it's vendors, it's everybody is there. That attracts 75,000 people.
So would they be handing out flyers?
Handing out flyers, signing
up
people.
Do flyers work for people?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there are some people who definitely want some things in their hands.
Okay.
Definitely want some things in their hands. And also to capture that email information.
How do you do that?
You ask them to sign up for your email list, or you offer them something in exchange for it.
Like what?
I know that I invested in some fans for, you know, fans.
Okay.
Church fans.
Okay.
When it was very hot and people said, can I have a fan? Yes, but you need to sign up for my email list first.
I like it. Okay.
Or having the opportunity to win tickets to a show, or having the opportunity to attend an event as your guest.
Give something to people.
Make sure that all of your social media information is out there. Grow that. But even though I believe that we do so much work through screens these days,
right?
I think it is still important to be in the room and to be face to face. Because people will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I have spoken with so many people over the years. I cannot tell you how many people that I have talked to about whatever project it is that I'm working on and see them show up at the theater. Also, looking at what your own connections are. Are you a member of a fraternity or a sorority or a church, or are you a member of the National Action Network? Connect. Make sure that you connect with that. And when it comes time to develop the audience, just don't depend on whoever you have paid $2 to help you get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to take an active role. If you want butts in seats, you're going to have to work for it as well. Even with people who have who work on Broadway shows, and that is considered the pinnacle of the theater world here in the United States. Mr. Washington still goes on television to talk about his project. Blair Underwood and David Alec Greer are on television shows and on radio programs speaking about a soldier's play. They still need to do that in order to bring people in, because if nobody knows you're here, then it doesn't matter what you do. You're not top of mind anymore. And that's where press is very, very important.
Now, what do you mean by press?
The publicity part of it are our press agents, making sure that you're not only with mainstream media, what we consider mainstream media, but also making sure that you get to blackout outlets.
For instance?
Essence Magazine and still Ebony Magazine. They're all online.
Jet Magazine.
The Source.
The Source.
All of those who have gone online. One of my favorite websites is Very Smart Brothers.
Very Smart Brothers. I don't even know it.
Yes.
Okay.
Check them out.
Okay.
Very Smart Brothers. And also Shadow and Act.
Yeah.
I love Shadow and Act, because if you have someone who is primarily known for film and television work, they will cover their journey into theater as well.
Okay.
So having that kind of information and having someone at the table who can do that is very, very important as well.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Awesome. So what are the projects you're currently working on?
A lot of them. I am blessed. I am blessed. It's blessed and highly favored at this point in time is either feast or famine.
Well, yes, that is the way it is in the arts.
Yeah, that is the way it is. MJ.
Uh-huh.
Blue, which mm-hmm. I'm very, very excited about, which is going to be at the Apollo Theater.
Yes, I know.
It's going to be at the Apollo Theater, and that's a good thing to put Charles Randolph Wright's piece.
Felicia Rashad directing Lynn Whitfield, Leslie Uggams.
Oh my goodness, to be in a black space like the Apollo Theater is just absolutely fantastic with black lead producers.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Simons, giving a big shout out to Ron Simons. So I think that that is very important. And then there are the smaller projects like Parody Productions, Mirrors, written by a trans playwright, Azure Lee Osborne.
Okay.
An amazing piece about a black woman who is gay in the 1960s in the South.
Ooh.
So it is.
Now, how are you going to get black women to come in and see that? Because we have a little thing about gay. We know we do.
Well, you know, we just did a cultivation event.
Okay.
And the room was filled with nothing but older black women.
And how did that go?
It went very well. They were excited. They brought tickets after
really?
The event.
It was, what was the conversation about this homosexuality? Because that's not very Christian.
They didn't care.
Okay.
They didn't care. And there were some people that I know who are Christian because I go to church with them. They were about the story. They mm-hmm. were about this person's journey. They were about the fact that they are seeing a woman who is like them, who is middle-aged or older,
mm-hmm.
To be able to see that. Because, you know, we don't see that very often.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you lose your ornamental value, no matter who you choose to mm-hmm. love, people have a tendency to throw you away. And that's when you get better. That I call a seasoned diva.
Yes, 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 yes. And you know what? It's like you be hating them cat calls when you're young, but there comes a point where you're just invisible and you be like wishing for a cat call.
Yeah, or walking in the store trying to buy some shoes and I'm like, isn't anybody going to come over and...
Because I got money, okay?
I have some money. I have some money to spend. She don't have no money. She's very cute, but she don't have no money. So with Blue, it's the same thing with women who have reached a certain age who are stars of the show.
I've seen Blue before. It's a fantastic show.
Yes, it's a fantastic show. But also, so I talked about Mirrors and also ongoing projects with the Public Theater.
Okay.
I work with them all year long.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter.
I'm glad to hear
that.
Yes. Because that audience does not look very diverse when I go down there.
I work with them all year long. And what people don't recognize is that I have a code. I have a discount code that
really?
I will tell people that you can use this code for any of the shows.
Well, if you sign up for Marcia's mailing list, you will get a discount code from her. What's your mailing list, Marcia?
My mailing list is you can go to walktallgirlproductions.com, click on the mailing list, and sign up. And sign up. Also work with MCC Theater, new playwright C.A. Johnson, all the Natalie Portmans, okay. which is running right now, Jocelyn Biel.
Okay.
I worked very hard for Mean Girls or the
School
Girls or the African Mean Girls play with Nollywood Dreams, which is...
Is Nollywood Dreams coming?
Yes.
Okay, good. I like Nollywood Dreams a lot.
So MCC is doing
But so that's,
Dreams.
You know, I'm going to go there. You
There's
know, Nollywood
lot.
Dreams is a fantastic play mm-hmm. and it's authentic African. And I just was disappointed with Schoolgirls, but I understood why it got made. I understood that it was, if you know, those institutions are choosing between Nollywood Dreams and Schoolgirls they're comfortable with. And it speaks to them because it is like the black version of Mean Girls. But Nollywood Dreams is deep and powerful,
it's
and I'm
very,
so excited that
it's
that's
very,
happen.
Very powerful. It's very, very powerful. So
and funny.
Jocelyn will tell you she is not going to do a play where everybody is sad.
Yeah,
she wants to tickle your funny bone while also. Dropping some knowledge on mm-hmm. you about what is happening. She is absolutely amazing. And what I love about our young playwrights, some of our playwrights, is they're writing for television and for film. And I'm like, wow, this stuff is getting a lot better. And then I realize when I read the credits, they're people that I know.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna just like, I'm a devil's advocate on that too, because a lot of times they put us in the room because it checks off some boxes.
Okay.
And they get some money for that. And then we are silenced in the room. I know this to be true because I know those writers in the mm-hmm. room, and it's a hard thing. You know, I know everybody's been loving on Watchmen. I got about 20 minutes through the pilot and I was done. Done. I was like, you're showing black people getting killed. Like this is just every day with no context. And I was just like, and we didn't have no superheroes saving us when, you know, Oklahoma was happening. So it was just like the wrong image for me. And then when we got to the black woman, Regina, having the white children, I was done. Done. And we're so thirsty for ourselves that we just want to see ourselves. And we want to see ourselves in every way. But that makes us available for them to just propaganda. So I know in that room. That the women of color really were lobbying hard for that Regina Taylor character to have black friends. Because black people actually know other black people.
Absolutely.
And black friends. They were lobbying hard for that. And they were shouted down about that. And one writer actually got themselves fired from that room because they were like, because the non of color, the non-melanated writers were like, I just don't understand. Like, what? They didn't understand. And this writer got themselves fired because they just were like, they were done with it.
That is unfortunate. That's why I love shows like David Makes Man.
Don't know it. What is it?
You haven't seen David Makes Man?
Don't know anything about it.
Oh my goodness. It is based on Terrell's, it is set in Liberty City.
Okay.
It is set in Liberty City. It's about a young man named David who is coming of age.
Okay.
He is coming of age.
Now, you know, I'm critical as hell. You know, I loved Moonlight till one of my gay friends broke it down for me. And he was just like, I couldn't stand it. I said, why? He said, why did mama have to be a crack addict? Why the male he got to be a pimp? Why he gonna go back and be that fine man is in prison all them years and ain't had his body touched? That body would have been touched a million times. And
well,
he gonna drive across the country for that man who sent him to jail. I was like, okay, I didn't think about all that.
He wasn't in prison, but you cannot take away from people's personal experience.
Yes, so that's true. I loved it.
People write what they know. People write what they know. And David Makes Man is a wonderful.
What show? What is it on?
It's on OWN.
Okay.
It's on OWN. And I also like Queen Sugar.
Queen Sugar. Green, yeah. The green, what's the
green leaf is a hoot.
Green leaf. Yeah. It's we got a lot hoot. Of stuff.
It's a hoot. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I know that there are, and I also know that people have left lucrative gigs in writing rooms because of the very same reason.
Yeah, American Gods. We just lost yes. Orlando Bloom in American Gods.
So for the very same reason. However, there's enough of it that is getting through that allows me.
Not enough, but there's more of it.
Yeah.
We want more.
To get through.
There's not enough yet.
For me to embrace it and for me to spend too much time
yes.
in front of the television.
You could definitely get lost in the television. So tell us all the things you do, because your agency has a lot of things. So mm-hmm. tell us all of them so we know. We're looking for Walk Tall Girl Productions. Marcia Pendleton, you can help us with?
Audience development, which is about building relationships.
Okay.
It is the point of entry to the work, to the institution, creating those opportunities for that to happen. It is also marketing, which means that you create the strategies, the messaging that will allow people to open up their pocketbooks and buy the ticket right away. And then there is group sales. Group sales is what it is. 10 or more, it's usually 10 or more people, you get together and say, we're going to do this evening in the theater. Sometimes people want to use it as a fundraiser, so they will come in with 50 people or 100 people or more and do fundraisers. And depending on where it is, if there is a lobby available or a space available or a restaurant around the corner, creating an entire evening for people. So you're creating an event, you're creating an experience. So it's a bit more than group sales, because especially with people who are coming from out of town who say, well, where can I go? What can I do? I have a cousin who has, well, it's not a group. I had a cousin who has three children, and she waited a long time to go see, to get tickets, four tickets in a row to see Hamilton. And I said, oh, I know you spend a lot of money for those tickets. And she did. But it's kids. Mm-hmm. So I said, go over to 9th Avenue or 10th Avenue and find one of those diners, and they'll be happy with that. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any problems with walking from, and you know, those are some long blocks, but they're kids and they would have no problem. They were having a good time and they were seeing everything. So being able to share with people where you should go, maybe you want to have a Harlem experience, get here early. Go to Harlem and check out some of the new restaurants, or even go to Brooklyn. Go across the bridge to Brooklyn.
I know you say you are from the Great Republic of Brooklyn. That's the People's Republic
of Brooklyn. I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philly. I'm still a Philly girl. But I moved to Brooklyn. I initially was in Harlem. And when the sublet was over, I couldn't find a place, and Harlem had become much too expensive. So I moved to Bed-Stuy, and I was in Bed-Stuy for 10 years and in Clinton Hill for almost 5. And I love Brooklyn. That's where I met my best friends, all the artists that I know, all of the designers that I know. I met them in Brooklyn when I was going to hear a church choir. Someone said, you should come hear my church choir. I went to Emmanuel Baptist Church, heard the church choir, and wound up staying.
That's your church now.
Yeah, wound up staying. I've been there for almost 20 years now. And the first lady of my church, she's from Philly too. We went to the same high school. Mm. Her father was the mayor of the city of Philadelphia, wow. The first Black mayor. So there were connections, Philadelphia connections. So Brooklyn felt like home to me more than Harlem, even though I had... My grandmother lived in Harlem for many, many years, and she was at 122nd and Lenox Avenue for so many years. So it didn't it didn't feel like Brooklyn felt to me, mm-hmm. you know, so Brooklyn is feeling kind of different right now.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah. But still, the people that I call my family and my closest friends are there. So yes, I reside in the People's Republic of Brooklyn.
Yes, it is another continent.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely another continent. Okay. Well, I am so grateful to have this conversation with you. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you feel it's important people know about welcoming Black audiences to the theater and what you do?
I believe that there's work that institutions need to do.
Tell us what that work is. Let's be specific.
The work is to do anti-bias, anti-racist training. There are organizations that that do that. One of my favorite is Be More America. Mm-hmm. So you can find them online. I think that is important because a lot of people think that they are not, that they aren't racist or don't have unconscious bias. But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. So to begin there, to begin to dismantle that. The other piece is for us to understand that we can claim space and be in whatever space we want to or need to be in and be okay with being who we are, no matter where we are. So that's the internal work that we need to do. The other piece of that is just don't wait until somebody comes to Broadway and to go to the theater. For the same price of one Broadway ticket, you can see three off-Broadway shows and go see our new playwrights and support them. Go to the Fire This Time Festival and hear people's work for the first time and support them and follow them. People don't become Lynn Nottage or Dominique Morisseau overnight. It's a process, mm-hmm. and we need people to support them. So I would say for us, no matter who it is or where it is, it could be around the corner from you in somebody's garage, go see it.
Mm.
Go see it. Be supportive.
Yes.
So we can have that next generation who will be ready when the opportunity comes along and will know how to say no if it's not time
mm-hmm.
for them to do what they need to do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia Pendleton. You're listening to You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network, and I'm Tanya Pendleton. Thanks for listening to You Can't Say That, the show where you can. I'm Tanya Pinkins, and You Can't Say That is part of the Broadway Podcast Network, produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Derek Gunther, with music by Kat Dale. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast highly wherever you stream. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Tanya Pinkins. And to learn more, visit bpn.fm/YCST. Stay safe. This is Tanya Pinkins.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.